Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. Just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Dude, I'm just now feeling normal.
Yeah, well,
I'm not fucking with you. We got back Friday.
We had a weekend.
It took me
a week.
Saturday, Sunday, yesterday. Like today was the first day I got up and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I got up and I went down and worked. I worked yesterday, but I was like, I feel normal today. Like, I feel like I finally got myself right.
Yeah.
Them guys wore me the fuck out.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
It was fun, man. It was a lot of fun.
I'm glad I didn't overserve myself, because that probably would have been icing on the cake.
I did that Thursday.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you did.
Thursday.
A lot of people did Thursday.
He went full Kamala Harris.
I mean, I was... Like, I don't get to the point where I'm, like, belligerent or an ass or anything like that.
But I don't know.
There were no cameras.
That's subjective.
That's debatable. But, I mean...
I don't know. Jumping off of a boat doing 37 miles an hour is a little belligerent.
That's not...
Kind of an ass.
Okay, I'll give you that one. But, like, the rest of the time I was decent.
Yeah.
I didn't start any fights or do anything crazy.
Right.
I didn't throw up out of the side of the boat.
No.
Jose.
No. We did have one person Jose. Throw up out of the side of the boat.
The worst part is I've never surfed before. I'm in the water. I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I'm pretty slammed. Andrew Leone.
And it's drifting his way.
Andrew Leone literally, he like goes back to the back and he's like, hey, dude. Like,
we're going to be a minute.
Like the most serious look on his face ever. Like he's leaned over talking to me. He's like, hey, man. He's like, yeah, what? He's like, seriously, Jose's throwing up over the side of the boat. You might want to like paddle to the other side. I get the rope in one hand. I'm on a board with no straps on it. I'm trying to turn with my left, like paddle. I'm just doing a goddamn circle out there. Like, I'm like, how do I
take your feet off the board?
Like,
and
yeah,
move.
I'm just like, so eventually, yeah, I just took my feet off, put my hand on it, and I was like, just swimming. And then Mason actually had a brain, and he's like, I'll just like whip around. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that'll
thanks,
work.
Buddy. And, like the only sober person on the boat was a 13-year-old kid. Like he was
15.
I was confused him and Grant all the time. But yeah, he was the only one that was like, okay, guys, get your shit together. Like you did okay. You didn't drink too much.
No. Well, and I don't like getting drunk, right? Like
I don't either.
I have this.
I did it.
Mason gets to see it as we hang out with other people and they overserve themselves and stuff like that. And for a long time, Mason thought it was just talk. And I told him, like, you know, I'll drink, but I have this like internal barometer where I get to this comfort level and I don't ever exceed it. And I'm like a little tipsy, but that's all I want to be. Right.
Yeah.
And I said we've got friends that come over from time to time where they leave smashed. Like we have to drive them home every time.
Yeah.
And and so he's finally,
you should maybe go to their house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe you should go over there.
He's finally starting to realize, like, oh shit, Dad's kind of right. He does have this internal barometer that keeps him from getting too far.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say, like, none of the guys were insanely over the top.
No, it was, I mean, if you're gonna overdrink,
I mean, they had
it
a
was
good,
a very responsible way to do it.
They had a good time.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say this, like if I'm ever, like, we were on your boat that day, right?
Yeah.
Like, if it's my boat, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So you're like,
because
you're like, I don't want my boat fucked up. I don't want to be held responsible for these idiots.
Yeah.
Like, I'll keep it together for a while.
Yeah.
And you know?
No damage to the boat. No, well, other than the boat breaking, which was not caused by people. That's just the manufacturing
thing. It was just a natural piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flywheel or pulley, not the boat. Sorry, I said that fucking
boat.
Wrong.
Yeah, whoever marinized the Malibu engine cheaped out on the water transfer pump pulleys, and ours exploded at 5,600 RPMs and 37 miles an hour, about 8 miles from the house.
Yeah.
So,
hey, guess who got to pull you back, though?
David. We called Dave. And he towed
baby.
Us home in his fishing boat.
Yeah, he, like, literally, you're like, are you going to go with us? And something just told me, I was like, no. Like, we're just going to stay here. We're gonna, 5 minutes later. Yeah. That was a little long, 5 minutes. Janine comes outside. You got to go pick up Mitch. I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
They're dead in the water. Yeah. He's like, oh, shit. Okay.
Boy, my kids freak. Like, the...
Your boys panic?
They panicked.
They panic over everything. Have you not noticed?
Oh,
they get that from their mother.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Like, it's their upbringing, for sure.
I just meant personalities. But yeah, dude, like a bad thing happens. Like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. Holy fucking shit, we're going to die. Like, it's like the Ozarks. You're not in the ocean. You're not like out where no one could see you. Like,
yeah, the thing we learned from that trip is everything is figure outable, right? Like,
yeah, it was like not a big deal, dude. What do you...
So we get down there Sunday.
He calls me.
Oh, I know.
Like, his message was, hey man, we're stranded. I'm like... And then Janine's like, hey, they're just stranded out there in the water. I call him back. He had obviously calmed down. Oh, yeah.
I got him calmed.
Yeah. Like, dude. Well,
So in their defense on that particular thing, this happened on a Monday. That happened on Monday. So let's back up for a second. Sunday. We get down there Sunday. And we rented two Airbnbs side by side. The Airbnb next to R2, I'm friends with those people as well. And so I texted them. They have a private boat ramp. And
really
so I
nice
asked
people.
If we could use their boat ramp.
Super nice.
They have a 300-yard long gravel driveway that's really steep and has a concrete boat ramp at the end. And I've pulled my boat with my truck out of that boat ramp before. Like, I know it happens. I know it works. But they failed to tell me that they had just laid down fresh gravel 4 days before we arrived. And so I'm back in my boat down this long-ass driveway. And as soon as I come off the street, everything slips. And my tires are sliding, rolling down the hill and everything. Yeah. And I have no control.
Yeah.
Damn near put the boat into a tree.
Weight on incline is a real thing.
Yeah. The boat's 9,000. The truck's 7,000. The trailer has surge brakes, so they don't really work all that well in reverse.
No, they don't.
And so that was just dragging me down the hill.
I'm surprised that a boat that heavy, that trailer doesn't have electronic braking.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
Design it.
Like my boat.
It's got ABS. I see the wheel speed sensors on there, but.
It's weird. Like my boat, so mine surge brakes, right?
Yep.
Because it's a lot of weight moving forward, back, no big deal. Like you would think something that heavy.
Yeah. I don't know. But
you better call them. Be like, hey, motherfucker, I want a better trailer.
As soon as my front tires came off the road, it slid me back, I don't know, 20 or 30 feet down the driveway. Thankfully, the boat didn't go into anything. It started like it was going into the woods, but thankfully it didn't hit any trees. And I tried moving it around and posturing around and realized really quickly, like, I can't go backwards. I can't go forward. Like, I couldn't go backwards because I can't steer. Because as soon as I would let off the brakes a little bit, the front tires would just drag and slide.
Yeah, I did.
And so I had to have Danielle in her Jeep pull me up out of the driveway. I didn't even have a tow strap. We were using an inch and a half ratchet strap.
Yeah.
And it snapped.
Well, and I kept thinking, like, so I came down the other way. And then pulled forward and then only had to back up like 20 feet or whatever.
Yeah.
No, it was 20, 50 feet. But that was a tight angle. Like it was.
That
like
was tight for your truck and trailer. And my trailer is substantial, like probably 10
I kept
feet
thinking,
longer.
I kept thinking when I got there, I was like, why didn't he just fucking come over here?
Yeah.
And then I get over there and I'm like.
That's tight.
This is. And it's not that it's. If it was straight, okay. But it's literally a switchback. It's like left, right, left, right, in a 50-foot.
Yeah.
And so you got to stop and back up and stop and back up. Like whoever put that in, like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Pull your head out of your ass.
Make it for bigger boats.
Oh my God.
So that happened Sunday. Danielle pulls me out. We end up like driving 20 minutes away to a public use boat ramp, dropped it in there. Mason rode the boat by water over to our Airbnb and I just drove back over there. No big deal. Monday, Monday was like our family day. Right. David and I get down to this Tradewinds event a couple of days early. We got like one day for our families to hang out on the water. And then everything else was prepping for the event.
Well, we say that Janine and I were at the grocery store 3 times for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, just like,
right.
She's like, well, what are we going to do? I was like, it looks like we're going to the grocery store. She's like, fuck.
Yeah.
All right.
So Monday there's a cave at Lake of the Ozarks that you can access by water. And so we thought, well, we'll take the kids to the cave. That'll be the family activity that we do.
Yeah.
And so we get on the boat. It's 30 miles by water, 35 miles by water to this cave.
It's a long ways.
It's a long ways.
It's a long.
It's going to be about an hour boat ride. And so Mason, he drives the boat more than I do, gets her up on plane, 37 miles an hour, as fast as the boat goes, but 37 miles an hour down the water. And we get like 5 to 7 miles away from the house. And all of a sudden the dash lights up with all these overheat warnings and it's like screaming. And up until then we didn't know anything was wrong. because the boat's kind of loud, the wind's in your ears, you can't hear much.
Yeah, that thing's kind of, to be honest, it's kind of shitty to boat ride on.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
if you're just going somewhere, it's not a cruising fun boat. Yeah, like it has a purpose. That ain't it.
That ain't it. Right?
That ain't it.
The hull is not designed to handle waves well. It's designed to make a wave.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, anyway, the overheat warnings happen. So Mason chops the throttle and turns the radio down, and he's trying to hit the buttons on
Dad,
the overheat warning.
Dad, I could imagine the chaos. Dad, Dad.
We didn't at that moment. We didn't know, right? And so he clears the overheat warning or hits okay on it, and now it's got a big like. Temperature gauge on there.
Engine shutdown,
and we're watching it like soar up to like 260 degrees. And so then we turn back and look at the engine and smoke's rolling out of the engine compartment. And so I'm like, oh shit. And so I open the rear hatches and smoke just starts pouring out of there.
Not to vomit.
Well, and at that moment, everybody thought something was on fire. We didn't
steam.
We didn't know that that was antifreeze and steam at that moment.
Did like, that blue shit smell like car antifreeze?
It stunk. It did not. I mean, it had that.
It has that.
It
normal,
had that syrupy smell, but still, it stunk. And because there was other shit in there getting hot too. And
I don't mean to laugh at your pain, but I'm glad I wasn't on the boat.
So we got the kids calmed down.
Sorry,
the boat has an onboard fire suppression system in it.
Grant's getting ready. I'm sure getting ready to jump over the side. Oh my God, the boat's going to explode.
Yeah, he went up into the bow and he was upset, but, the boat's got an onboard fire suppression system in it. And we didn't really investigate this too much before then, but it runs on like a heat sensitive valve. It's not like a manual, like Mason was looking for a manual thing to push a button. And,
no, it's like a sprinkler system in a commercial
it's got a little
building.
Glass vial.
Yeah, it's too hot. That thing snaps.
Yep.
Water comes out of just that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, thankfully that didn't happen, but essentially the water transfer pump pulley exploded, lost the coolant belt, lost everything, lost our ability to cool the engine, and we overheated the engine. So,
you know, to be honest, like I was kind of looking at it when we were in there. I'm surprised that it being where it is, how thin it was.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because as that boat and everything is moving, like you can say all you want that, well, there's no flex in the motor. There's no flex in those positions of where that stuff's at. Bullshit.
There's a reason they have tensioners for
like, bullshit. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, and then you look at it. I mean, it was pretty thin. Like, holy shit.
The new one. So,
hey, engineers. Yay.
Yeah.
I love engineers. I got friends that are engineers. Sometimes they're just dumb, dude. Like,
yeah, I don't
come
know.
Come on, guys.
I mean, it's all money, right? They're just cheaping out on the cheapest stuff they can get.
Yeah,
but
that's probably not the one to cheap out on, because if it gets hot, the motor burns up. Like, cheap out on the other stuff.
Yeah, cheap out on the fire suppression system.
Yeah. let's be honest. What's better for them? For the thing to sink to the fucking bottom of the lake and you collect insurance?
Yeah.
Or them have to replace
cheap
a
out on the
motor
drain plug,
under
would
warranty? Yeah, exactly. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. But yeah, the boat's, you know, brand new. Under warranty. And so Malibu overnighted parts. My local dealer that I bought the boat from worked with the local dealer at Lake of the Ozarks. Malibu overnighted parts. This happened on a Monday. By the time we got everything figured out and ordered, it was too late for the overnight cutoff. So the parts shipped out Tuesday. They got them in their hands Wednesday, and the boat was back up and running by Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah,
so
I will,
can't really complain too much about
to
how,
be honest,
how they handled it.
The customer service was outstanding.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I will say this. All the people that are tired of you of hearing about you and your badass boat, right now I can hear them laughing.
Oh, yeah,
like,
going,
that motherfucker.
Sucker.
You know they are. People are hateful.
That's part of it.
I mean, how many times have we talked about haters be hating?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, ha. Fucking Mitch. Mitch and his stupid ass boat.
That's the testament of the weekend is everything is figure outable. Like, we were stuck in a driveway, we figured it out. We were stuck in the middle of the lake, we figured it out. Like, it poured its ass off.
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know if I've been in rain that hard for that long.
Dude, and the day that I took,
we still figured out how to have
the
fun.
The day I took Jose, John, and Dave Nabin out the second time or the first time that was it Wednesday?
You guys got back like 13 seconds before you were.
Literally, it's like, no, it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. I'm like, guys, they're like chomping at the bit. I'm like, okay, let's go. It's rain. Fishing's going to suck. But I was like, yeah, let's go. It'll be fun. We're out there 5 minutes, and I can see on my phone the red giant cloud. I can see the lightning.
Just developing.
Like, I can see it developing. I'm like, it's going to go around. It's going to go around. It's going to go. Guys, we got to go right fucking now. And they were cool. They were like, okay, they reel in. We put everything away. And I mean, it's no wake over there. Dude, I was doing like 60 miles an hour across that channel and halfway down that
cove. You know, at 60, you don't make much of a wake.
That boat doesn't. So that boat does not.
You're kind of above the no wake setting at that point.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
I mean, if we were hauling ass, like, and then when all those docks kind of coned together, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And literally, we pulled up, you guys helped us tie up the boat. I mean, it rained harder than I think I've ever been in.
Yeah.
Like outside, it fucking rained, it poured, dude. It rained for what? 40 minutes straight. I turned the bilge pumps on. They ran for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That boat, my boat had like 2 foot of water in the hull.
Yeah.
That's a lot of water, dude.
Yeah.
I will say this, my boat doesn't smell like fish anymore.
Well, that's good.
Like it smells like rain. It made the carpets like they're another color now.
Yeah.
Like it washed all the pigment out. Wow. Like it freaking rained hard.
Yeah.
And it rained on us every day. And you know what?
I took the opportunity to soap down the inside of mine and let the rain clear it out. And the bilge just pumps all the soapy water right into the lake.
You know, everyone in the cove was like, all right, who dumped the fucking Ajax out here in the fucking cove?
Half a bottle of Dawn dish soap.
You could see it from the house. Like, there's just fucking foam everywhere.
It was awesome.
And it doesn't help the kids. My daughter and your kids were soaping down that mat. Yeah, you left the fucking Dawn out, so they got this float mat out.
I didn't leave it out. They got it out. They know where it is.
Hey, whatever. Then your boy got it out. And I see Layla out there with it upside down, like squirting it. I'm like, Layla, what are you doing? She's like, Dad, it's awesome.
You're making a slide.
She jumps off the boat across 14 foot of mat and into the water. I mean, there is just soap everywhere, man. She hasn't been that clean in a long time.
No need to shower.
Just showered for six hours
straight.
It's good, clean fun.
But to your point of shitty start, rain every day, no one cared.
Phenomenal finish.
No one cared.
Yeah.
Like everyone, like, so those times that they were stuck in the dock, like I'd walk by the guys talking business.
Yeah.
Talking personal growth. Like I don't want to be cliche when I say those things, but that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
Like, they're just sharing information constantly.
Yeah.
No one bitched about the rain. No one bitched about not having the boat. So we didn't have it for a while, but they only didn't have it for half a day.
Yep.
No one gave a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it was, you know, I think a lot of times, especially when it comes to business, people are afraid to, how do I say this? They're afraid that something's going to happen, and so they don't push themselves. Like, this was a great example of who cares? Let's get the best out of it.
Right.
Like, let's make this successful regardless of the challenges that we've just had for 2 days, 3 days. That's how business is.
Yeah.
We had three guys that couldn't come. Ray rented a freaking car to come and then last minute couldn't make it. He had to eat that money.
Yep.
One of the guys' dad passed away.
Yep.
Like, brutal.
Yeah.
Like, the guy that's dad passed, he's still working. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's still
just gotta trim off what you can, but he's still
keeping on, keeping on.
Yeah.
You know,
still gotta move.
It just like one of the other guys from Texas two guys from Texas couldn't come. One of them, literally his employee, like he had to cover for his employee.
Right.
It just is what it is, man. Make the best of it.
Yeah.
You know, move on. Fuck it.
Right.
You know, you've got to keep grinding no matter what. Like, don't let those fears of, well, if this happens or that happens or whatever, change it. Because regardless, you're going to keep grinding.
Right.
Whether you have no problems or 100 problems, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You're still having to get around them.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, there were three things that happened on that trip.
More than that,
one of these three things was happening 24/7. And those three things were sleeping, talking business, or having fun on the lake. And
a lot of them at the same time.
Some of it was at the same time, but like, there was no downtime. There was no nothing. If it was pouring down rain, we were talking business. If the weather was sunny, we were having fun on the water sports and talking business. And then you got to sleep.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
you say that. I don't know how much I slept.
Even while the meals were going on, people were still talking business.
Like, yeah, I'm trying to eat my eggs, having a nice breakfast, and none of you fuckers would shut up.
Yeah.
I'm literally, I walked into the other room at one point. I'm like, I got to get out of here. Like, I'm hungover. I'm trying to get some grease in my belly, like trying to regroup. And Mitch is a morning person.
Yep.
He is full-fledged, just railing these guys, not in a bad way, but just like, hey, you should be doing this. We should be doing this. They're asking questions. Yeah, this and that. Like, I had to get up and just leave. I was like, man, I've got to like get my head right before we go
intense.
Into this.
Like, yeah. Not railing, but just intense.
Yeah. Mitch can be intense, especially like when he gets on something he cares about.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No.
That's not an insult. That's a compliment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, let's get it. And them guys were soaking it up. And yeah. I was looking around like, I'm not one of these guys right now. I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Get you some of those like sound like active noise canceling headphones.
I went in the other room, had my breakfast, had a little coffee, had some White Monsters, which are my new thing now.
Played a little shuffleboard.
Dude, those are
played
so good. Shuffleboard.
Those White Monsters are delicious.
Yeah, I've been getting on those for the meetings.
I had two or three. They're great.
Yeah.
Better than sugar-free Red Bulls. And that used to be my go-to.
Yeah.
You've got me changed.
Yeah. I had a couple of those, then come back. I'm like, that's not that
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Not
well,
nearly
the price
as good.
You pay. You pay like, you know, $10
price,
for like 8 ounces.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have that sugar-free.
Yep.
Get some food. Come back in. Okay, let's go.
So our next event. So this event was actually free for TradeWinds members, and it was for TradeWinds members only. So if you want to go to events like that, you got to be a part of TradeWinds. Our next event is going to be in February. It's going to be in Kansas City. We're still hashing out a lot of the final details.
Yeah, it'll be end of February, 1st of March.
Yeah,
normally, I like to take a break because I kind of put those together. But now I'm like, nope. Just get it. Get oh, fuck it. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And, which pains me.
And that event, we'll have a VIP night prior to the event. It'll probably be another one-day event. We'll have a VIP night prior to the event, and the only people that will be allowed into the VIP event, tentatively at this point, we're planning on TradeWinds members only in the VIP side of things. We'll also have a VIP lunch, which is for TradeWinds members only. So if you want access to those, you just buy a ticket to the event and you join TradeWinds and you're good all the way around.
Yeah, but if you just want to attend the event,
if you just
regular,
want to attend the
yeah,
event,
you just buy a
ticket to the event.
It'll be
good.
Like our first event. The first event we ever had was Void People. TradeWinds people, it was whoever.
Yeah.
We didn't care. Didn't matter. And the main part will be like that again.
Yeah.
I think that was great too.
Yeah. And it'll be good. A more conference style event, tables, chairs, speakers, no water sports activities.
Yeah. We'll
things like that.
Yeah. We'll cater breakfast. We'll cater lunch.
Yeah.
And then everyone's free to do whatever they want in the afternoon or for dinner.
Yeah.
So
it'll be more like your traditional business seminars.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Easier for me to plan.
It's no water.
I shouldn't say that. It's harder. It's harder.
It is. It
it's
is.
A bitch.
Unless you jump in the fountain in the hotel lobby, it's not going to be water sports.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Stop it. I do want to go. We've talked about this a little bit. So was it last February? Yeah, last February we were in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do a Vegas one in the summer at the same resort because they got the wave pool and the cabanas. So
Vegas
August of next year, like they may... The thing about Vegas is even if you don't gamble or like nightlife, they make it very easy to host events.
Yeah, you can get like in, you can get out, you can get places.
Yeah, it's
there's plenty
nice.
Of stuff for people to do for all walks of life. If you want to gamble, you can gamble. If you want to drive fast cars, you want to shoot guns. Like, there's literally nothing you can't do in Vegas.
It was crazy. We had that one and only like 5 people gambled.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Remember, I tried.
Yeah.
I had $5 cash on me, and I'm like, I'm going to go put $5 on black.
They just looked at it.
And I show up, and it wouldn't take my money, and it's a $20 minimum.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm not gambling.
I guess you just look around. Did you look around at the guys that, hey, anybody got 15 bucks? They could spot me?
No, I just quietly put my $5 back in my wallet and walked away. So I'm not a gambler. I don't like...
Hey, dude, can I bum 15 bucks?
Yeah.
Either that, or he fakes it like it actually went in, and so he's just kind of fake playing until everyone looks away.
Yeah, he looks away. It spits it back out. He just walks away. I lost.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, no, well. I saw a meme. It had the soundtrack of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and it has a videographer, and it says, you forgot your SD card, and it's like, which do you do? It's like, lie to the client, fake record.
Right.
Tell
fake, fake record.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
It's like... Doo-doo-doo-doo.
And then when I get home, be like, oh... It ate your footage.
Yeah.
We got to have another one. It's on me, though. That's on me.
Sounds a lot like...
sounds like Marcus working here.
And it had the music, too. It was like...
Oh, yeah.
It's a dude.
Oh, man. Every time. Yeah. But that next one will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be.
It'll be big, too. That first one we had was like...
We had 60 people at the first one.
For our very first one.
The public ones, there's usually more people showing up at the public ones. The private ones, so it's kind of wild. More people show up at the public ones, more value is had, deeper value is had at the private ones. Like
that's like, probably true.
Like this last one.
The Vegas one was loaded with
value. Vegas was loaded with value, and I think we had about 20 people there. This one was like deep relationship building with your mentors. I mean, it's kind of hard not to develop a deep relationship with your mentor when you're like trying to teach them how to wake surf or wakeboard or hold down your liquor.
I would. Okay. I don't want to turn this into a Jose bash, but bro, what, but I will say, like, I didn't think that this one was going to be like Keith pushed some guys pretty hard on some stuff. And like, I didn't think there was going to be a lot of quote unquote personal growth involved, but I think for like, he was picking on one guy pretty hard. And then
not like, picking on him, but like...
No, he just used one as an example.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, and pointing out an area where one guy can improve.
And he was fine with it, right? Yeah. But then like right after that, all those guys came up to me and they're like, dude, I'm glad that wasn't me. He was like the whole... They were like the whole time I was asking myself the same questions and they were like, I didn't have a fucking answer.
Yeah.
Like, should I be doing that? Should I... You know what I mean? So I think it took a little bit of a different turn as far as personal growth than I thought it was.
Yeah.
But it was good.
But before you grow your business, you got to learn about yourself.
Dude, I don't ever intentionally try to take away a lot.
Yeah.
Because I've got other things going on. Like yesterday, I did this in the Monday Motivational. I talked about it. Like his point of, like for me, not to get off topic, but like the main thing he was talking about was we do this for money.
Yeah.
Right? We do this to fucking have money.
Yeah.
Well,
we like to lie to ourselves and say, oh, I'm going to do it to make a difference or I'm going to do it to.
See, yeah.
And you're doing it for that too.
Yeah. I had kind of.
But if you can't pay the bills.
I had been money focused and driven for so long that I had kind of quote unquote burnt myself out. That's not the right thing to say, but like I needed something else.
Right.
And so for the last year for sure has been personal growth stuff for me. And so I kind of let all that shit go.
Right.
Until the other day, I'll just tell the story. I took Layla to get diamond stud earrings for her first day of middle school.
Right.
Like, it's just her and I don't do a whole lot of stuff when it comes to shopping and all. That's mom stuff, right? And I was like, no, I'm going to take her. So I take her to a jewelry store and I'm like, babe, let's get you some diamonds that fit your ears and let's get you something nice for, to start. And she was super excited,
right.
Go through the store, doing all this stuff. And the sales lady, who was really nice and very good, she's like looking at me like, are you sure?
Right.
Like she's sixth grade basically, and these are kind of some of the things we were saying back and forth and it hit me like what Keith was saying. And I was like, I had kind of lost track of that. I was like, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fucking spending this money on something she might lose next week. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I've literally been working towards this my whole life.
Right.
So that I can get her shit I didn't have.
Well, like, some of that comes with a convoluted message that's delivered from all of the different angles out there on social media, right? You got David Ramsey acting like, you should be eating rice and bread until you've got a quarter million in the bank and no debt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got other people that are like, buy the boat. Your kids are only young for so long.
Yeah.
And so you got to find the balance of what works for you. And same thing.
Like, yeah.
I spent way too much on a boat that I probably could or could not have bought, but it's like I bust my ass day in and day out and I want those memories.
Yeah.
Just like you wanted those memories for Layla.
Well, and just not that she can have the things that I didn't have growing up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And literally I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this. I wanted to say the B word, but I'm not, because she was actually really nice.
Yeah.
But you could tell that her mindset was not that of an abundance mindset, right?
Yep.
It was what happens if she loses them? Oh, what happens if this?
Scarcity.
What happens if this? What happens if that? And I'm like, I could literally hear Keith say, what do you mean? We're doing this for fucking money. Like, I could hear it in my brain.
Yeah.
Like, this is why you've been doing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm buying these. Like, right now. Like, fucking ring them up. Let's go.
Yep.
And, like, the switch kind of came on for me of, okay, now it's probably time to start. Like, I've had my personal growth moment and I found out, what makes me tick internally,
mm-hmm.
but now it's time to bring that money making shit back on board.
Yeah.
And in the Monday Motivational, I said that. I was like, so all those little extra things that I do for money on the side, those are about to fucking be ramped up. So watch the fuck out, because right. It's money-making mode again.
New strain of cocaine is whatever. Ready to hit the Midwest.
I will do whatever the fuck I have to do to drive, is, baby.
It's like the full circle of, like, I want to make quality of life better for me and my family, so I'm going to focus on business. But in order to make the business successful, you have to be so laser focused on that. But then there's a point where you kind of have to be like, I've been so laser focused to make the money. Now I have to transition back to like, okay, this is why I made the money.
Yeah. And I didn't ever lose track of why I was making the money.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
But the money part didn't give me personal satisfaction.
Right.
Like, it gave her personal satisfaction and satisfaction for me when I bought her things. But to feel, I had got to the point where I was only feeling like money was the only thing that mattered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that, like, to say it in a, this isn't really true, but like, that just made me depressed.
You gotta like couple it with something.
Yeah, I had to couple it with something. And the coupling is Tradewinds.
Yeah.
Because I care about, like this weekend, like I care about those guys.
Yeah.
I want them to do fucking good. You know, they're messaging me for the next 3 days. I'm messaging them for the next three. Like, yeah. Yes. Like, that gives me focus while trying to make money. But then the big money parts are like you with Smedley Plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I've got to fire up my Smedley Plumbing again. I've got to do all that stuff that I was doing before to make all that extra money.
Right.
So
a dangerous spot to be in is when you're at a job and you're hustling so much to where you have no hobbies, no friends, and all you're doing is just racking in cash. Like, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
But like, you'll find yourself, I think we brought on the podcast before.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 20 years. It had made me lose focus.
Yeah.
To be honest. But now I feel like I've had a little bit of mindset change because of this stupid-ass event that I wasn't sure was going to be great. But for me personally,
it's phenomenal.
I've had a little eye-opening experience. So if I know Keith doesn't listen to these, but thanks, yeah. Keith.
The other thing, too, is to recognize that everything you see out there of other people developing and growing and doing different things and all of that, that's for them to figure out. And that's for them to celebrate, right? They have their why. Just because that's their why doesn't mean it needs to be yours, right?
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm saying is, like, when you see a kid that's 25 years old, like, grinding hard, working hard, right? It's easy for some people to say he's going to get burned out. It's easy for some people to say he's wasting the best time of his life. He should be out there having fun, right?
You don't know he ain't slaying ass on Fridays.
You don't know. But...
Like,
but
he may be living his best life.
That's also the time where you want to put in all that work because you don't have kids. You don't have t-ball games to go to. You don't have band practice and dance contests and all the activities, right? Yeah.
It's a weight.
And maybe you don't even have a serious relationship, right? That is when you need to be putting all the work in. It's really hard to wait until your mid-30s and you've got kids and a wife and everything to then finally light the fire under your ass that, okay, now I'm going to start working hard.
Yeah.
Because now it's really freaking hard. You got a wife that wants your attention. You got kids that want your attention. And
like, let's just talk about energy level.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the things I took when I was younger, like in that plumbing, like you would see those guys that were 40, 45, like they're fucking wore out.
Yeah.
And they got nothing to show for it.
Right.
And you're like, man, and they would literally say to us, dude, do it now while you're young and you can. Like, because when you get older, and I never noticed, you know, everyone says you hit 30, oh, blah, blah, you hit 35, oh, blah, blah. I didn't notice it till about 41.
Right.
Like, at 41, like, I was like, oh, fuck. And I feel it now. Like, I'm, like, it took me 3 days to fucking recover from 2 days worth of young guys being around me and, you know, having a good time and all that. Like it takes me a little bit to get back now. I can see it. I can feel it.
The construction industry is wild, right? Because you'll have a 22-year-old kid in construction that's saving up his money for a Hellcat. And then you have a 42-year-old guy in construction that's just trying to put food on the family table.
Yeah, because he wasn't hustling when he was 25.
It just depends.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on where you're at with it. But ultimately, you got to you got to focus less on everything that you're seeing out on social media and focus more about like what drives you, what makes you tick, what brings in revenue to you, because what brings in revenue to you is going to be completely different than somebody else. And so,
and how you do it
and how you go about it. Yeah. Right. So, and so you got to learn what you got to learn what you can do and then exploit that to the best of your abilities.
Yeah. Like I, you know, I get, have these talks with the, some of the guys all the time. Like, we can't all be janitors. We can't all be Bill Gates. We right. all fall in there somewhere.
Right.
But it, you still, it's disservice if you don't give it your all right. to find out where you fall.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm, to be honest, I'm probably not going to ever be Keith. You know what I mean?
No, right.
You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean I can't try.
Right.
You know, it's just people, I think people a lot of times feel like they're destined to be this or they're destined to be that. Well, and they've just been, and I think I know what you're going to say, but like they've just been hammered on so long. This is where you are. This is where you were. And that's kind of what Keith was saying to one of the members. Like, you know, you have got to break out of that.
Yeah.
Like you've been told that your whole life, and that's not the truth.
Right.
Your truth is somewhere else.
Right. And that's where
truth.
That's where you have to. That's where you got to be really select.
One drink.
That's where you have to be really selective about who you allow to influence you, right?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of undercover haters out there. And when I say it like that, I don't mean people that are intentionally hating on you.
Oh, okay.
What I mean is there's a lot of spouses that are like, oh, I don't know if you should take on that other van payment to grow your business. I don't know if we can swing it. Well, and meanwhile, the spouse is very disconnected from the business, doesn't know the financials, doesn't anything. All they do is point out risk. That's a risk.
Yeah.
I don't know if you should hire that guy because what if you don't have work for him in 2 months?
And then bitch.
That's a risk.
And then want more money.
And then
like,
bitch.
We want a bigger house. Well, the only way to fucking get there, girl.
Right.
Or man, whoever.
Right.
Is like we have to hire.
Right.
So that we can bring in more revenue.
Yeah.
Because I only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah. I don't know if you should hire those employees because you know what comes with employees is problems. Well, what do you want?
I mean, how many times have we talked on this show and in the groups and stuff? Like if everyone is not rowing in the same direction,
yeah,
you just ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
Like everyone has to be moving in the same direction.
In the
spouses, friends, family, employees that work for you, everyone has to be moving in the same direction or you won't be successful. You'll be stagnant.
Yeah.
You may keep the doors open, but that doesn't mean you're fucking making it. That doesn't mean you're retiring someday. That doesn't mean you're selling your company someday.
Yeah, we've used the analogy before that in business, you got three passengers in your boat. You've got people that are helping push the boat forward.
Three types of passengers.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you've got people that are helping push the boat forward. They're rowing in your right direction. You've got people that are just riding along.
Yeah.
And then you've got anchors.
Yeah.
That are either slowing you down or rowing in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Right?
There's one person over there with one out the left side just turning you in a circle. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And so you've got to spot the anchors and cut them loose immediately.
Yeah.
And I've used the analogy before, or the conversation started before. One of Elon Musk's wives that he had, because he's been married a couple of times, whatever wife he had before he started SpaceX or new into SpaceX, he said, we're going to go to the Mars or we're going to go to the moon or something. And if you don't think I can do it, then we should just go ahead and get divorced. Like he just called it straight out. And basically, like, I commend him for it because basically what he was saying is, if you're not with me, you're against me. So get the fuck out of here is basically what he was saying.
Take your cut and go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure
he prenups well, but still.
Airtight, baby. Airtight. Yeah.
But basically he's just setting his circle to say like, I only want people in my circle that are helping push this event forward. I don't even want passengers.
Yeah.
I want promoters and that's it.
I don't mind passengers because you never know when they're going to turn and then be like, okay, you know what? You're right.
Right.
And you're rolling and you have someone you can trust.
Yeah.
But the people that are literally holding you back, you gotta fucking let them go.
You
gotta
cut them loose.
You gotta fucking let them go. And it's difficult.
The number one rule of success is learn how to cut people loose. Cause you're going to have to do it a lot. Like there's
employees
a good chance.
Fall into that group. Yeah. I mean, it's just like you may have an employee you love.
Yep.
You may be his best friend
today.
And then like he sucks so bad that he's costing you money.
Yep.
Like sometimes you got to cut those guys loose. Like, man, I'm sorry. I got to let you go. That guy hates you now.
Yeah.
Like he hates you, right?
Yep. Yeah, it happens.
It does happen. It happens more, especially in our industry, when you're 1-, 2-, 3-man shops.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, I'll hire my buddy on. Oh, I'll do this. Sometimes that shit just don't work. Sometimes that shit just don't work.
One of the biggest things that I see as people make the transition from employee to self-employed. So the general flow is employee, self-employed, business owner, like business owner slash CEO, and then investor. Right. You start out working for somebody else, then you start your own gig, and then you bring people onto the team. When you start your own gig, you're self-employed. Then you start adding people to the team to do the event at scale.
Yeah.
And so now you're managing people. You're not even doing the craft anymore. You're just managing people. So now you're like business owner, CEO type thing. And then you want to grow even out of that and have somebody come in and manage your business for you. And then you just reap the rewards. Well, the only way for that to happen and there be any rewards for you to reap is you got to grow the business substantially large. And
you have to let go of menial tasks.
Yeah. You got to be willing to delegate.
Guys, dude, I was that way.
Yeah.
I don't trust anyone.
Yep.
I hate all of them.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I will not give them any freedom.
Yeah.
And I knew that. Like, I had severe trust issues when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, it's the truth.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, guys that go and then they're one man shops, like that's their biggest thing. We hear it all the time. They say, I don't want to trust them because they could tarnish my name.
Yeah.
Like that's the number one thing we hear when it comes to hiring.
They don't say that right out of the gate. It always starts with good help is so hard to find. I can't find anybody that wants to work. Yeah. And it's like, no, there's plenty of people that want to work. They just don't want to work for you because you don't have a career path for them. You don't have a growth plan for them.
Yeah.
It's a dead end job working for you. You're unpleasable because you don't trust them. So you micromanage them. And then like you second guess every little thing they do. Like who would want to work for that?
No one.
Like no matter what I do, it's wrong. And you're going to come and tell me I sucked.
Yeah.
And you're going to come and like the older you get, the better you used to be.
That's good.
Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of business owners that are like, oh, I could put in 17 water heaters in one day.
No, you can't, buddy.
Like
if they're all in the same room, maybe.
Well, and
maybe.
And that's not the manager you want to be, right?
Like, no.
Like I've been a part of some big projects to where I want to say the most toilets I've ever set in a day is like 20. Okay.
That's a lot of shitters.
That's a lot of toilets. It was in a nursing home. All the stops.
So they're just like, it's door, 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 door. Yeah.
Yeah. All the stops were already on, but you got to unbox and assemble. Yeah. Water was on. Stops were on. Escutcheons were on, but you still got to assemble, unbox, you know, set, move, trash, everything else.
Concrete floor's a bitch. Gotta wedge them.
I think I did like 20 in one day. But I don't go bragging saying like I can set 20 toilets in a day because that was perfect conditions that aligned perfectly. Material on the job, part of the work's already done. I don't go to my guys and be like, it took you an hour to set a toilet.
You suck, bro.
You suck.
You suck.
You know what I mean? Like, but there's a lot of people out there that instead of taking an opportunity to grow and develop your team, they take that same opportunity and waste it by bragging about how well they used to do or did once in perfect conditions.
Yeah.
And it's no different than the guy who can't ever get past winning state at high school football.
Yeah.
Like he's hanging his hat glory on that
days,
moment
baby.
Forever, right?
Yeah, glory
And
days.
It's like, dude, move on.
You peaked.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I hate when people get stuck on things that they've peaked at. It doesn't matter what it is, but then they don't feel like they have to keep running the race to get to the next thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's like my constant thing is what's the next level I think I can obtain?
Yeah.
And then how do I get there? You know what I mean? I didn't build the big house I live in now. And then say, okay, and then stand out front with my arms crossed like, look
I've
at me.
Made it.
Look at me. This is the pinnacle of everyone I've known. No, I don't give a shit. No one even knows. Like 4 of my friends have been to my house.
Right.
That's it. I don't care. It's what's the next thing?
Yeah.
It's
where's next?
Perfect example. So when my mom died,
mm-hmm.
she had some accounts and all this stuff. Well, someone from Fidelity called me like 2 weeks ago. Hey, your mom's got this account. It's through Fidelity. You have to set up a brokerage account. Oh, okay. She gets it all done at $338. Like it's no money, you know? And so I knew, and I think like I had a good idea going into it. I was like, this ain't going to be nothing.
Yeah.
So I got 338. My brother got 338. My sister got 338. And I was like, well, easy. I can either close this out and pay 25% capital gains, which is, I think, what was going to be correct. I didn't actually even research it. Or I could maybe get some stocks.
Right. And some roll it into something.
You know what? I've got this account I've already been forced to open. Today, I took out a bunch of savings and bought dividend stocks.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep them. And then whatever dividends they make, roll into a money market.
Right.
Like, I don't know why. Like, okay, I think this is going to be the next step. It could fail. I may not make money.
You never know.
But I'm still trying to get to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that constant evaluation and how do I do this and what do I do and how do I get there and all that is what, like, that's what you should be doing all the time.
Right.
Not, oh, I got here. I'm staying here. Mitch didn't get to two employees and be like, this is where I want to be. I'm going to be here. No, well, it's.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
So you're kind of hitting on where this topic needs to go to anyway, and that is, there's a lot of people that think having a retirement account is the goal. No, having a retirement account is the foundational minimum to retire. It's feeding the retirement account.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the action, not the talking.
There's a lot of people that think, oh, I've made it. I have a company that now offers retirement, but they don't put shit in it.
And then bitch 20 years later, and like, then, but they didn't give me retirement. Well, right. You know, you were supposed to be putting money in there, right?
Right.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, it's not enough just to do the thing. You have to do the thing and do it well over and over and over and over. And it's monotonous and it's boring and it's not sexy and nobody wants to brag about that.
Let's get on to that.
But that's what it takes, right?
Yeah.
So,
there is no glory in it. There's no glory.
Right. So, you know, like if you're transitioning from employee to self-employed, for one, you need to have your craft under your belt before you do that. Because the moment you now own a business, even if it's technically you're self-employed, so you own a business, but a business is something that can run without you there. Right.
Yeah.
So, but like the moment you do that, you're now no longer a plumber or a painter or a tile guy or an HVAC guy or anything like that. You're now a business owner and your role is get work.
Yeah.
That is your role. Nobody, like, I'll use plumbing, for example. The moment you flip over to from plumber to plumbing business owner, nobody cares how beautiful that water heater install looks anymore.
Only you and other plumbers.
Right. And so you can always spot business owners that are going to struggle because here they've been in business for a year or two and they're still posting pictures of their work and bragging about it. Meanwhile, the successful business owners are posting pictures of their full schedule and bragging about that because they've made the transition from craftsman to business owner and you have to let the trade go. You have to let the craft go and your new craft is business.
Yeah. Well, you have to learn to shift your focus.
Yes.
Like the next posts are, look at the new truck I bought.
Yes.
Look at the new hire. I hired two last week.
Yeah.
We are so busy. We are 2 weeks out.
Look at the process we have for hiring. Right. It's easy to brag about your first hire. It's hard to do that 100 times.
Yeah. It's hard to do it 5.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like,
and so without a good structure and a good plan and a good vision to business vision to pull you in that direction, if you're stuck over here with, you know, I'm the guy who puts in the best looking water heaters ever. Well, guess what? You're going to be a shop of one and you're going to put in, you know, 50, 60, maybe 100 water heaters a year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to be amazing.
Not to say that you can't make money doing that.
Right.
You can make serious money doing that, but you're not a...
There's a lot of people that talk out of both sides of their mouth.
You're not a real business I don't want to say this because it sounds bad, but you're not a real business owner. Like I wasn't.
You're being accurate. You're not a business owner.
I was not a business owner. Right. I owned my job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I did really fucking good at it.
Yeah.
But I owned my job.
When you work for somebody else, they own your job.
Yeah.
Right. When you work for yourself, you own your own job.
Yeah.
When you have a business, the event keeps moving forward even when you take a day off. There's people bringing in money. There's people answering phones. There's people running the money to the bank. There's people driving around and servicing customers, and you aren't having to do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, people want to be very analytical and say it's cut and dry. Like, it's not, not to throw a wrench in it, but it's not cut and dry. Like once in a while, you still have to go out and run bids.
Yeah. I was running a dump trailer all day long yesterday.
If two fucking of your guys got sick and there were calls on the board, you'd have to figure, you'd have to be like, Spencer, I need your truck.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a truck anymore. Like, hey, I got to use your truck.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not cut and dry. It's not, okay, I'm never doing that again.
No.
Like, that's just.
And it's not a pompous position of like, ha ha, I have people to do that.
That's why I bring it up.
It's like, I've delegated.
It's the majority of the time.
Yeah.
That is what is happening.
I've delegated that work to the field, and I entrust that they are going to take amazing care of the customers, which they do. We just passed 1,000 five-star Google reviews.
Yeah, which is weird because I, like, never in my, when you first started talking about, I'm going to finally do it, I'm going to go out on my own and this and that, for you to have that many guys that have been here that long.
Yeah.
Like, I never, back then, I never would have been like, oh, I would have thought, oh, he's going to have turnovers. This is going to happen. You know, this and that.
Yeah.
I mean, props, dude.
Between the
like,
six.
I never thought that would have fucking happened.
Yeah, we have 91 years of experience between the six plumbers.
Yeah, I saw that thing that John put up the other, like, it had his little chalkboard and like the video was good, right?
Yeah.
But I never would have thought that that's how it would be running.
Right.
And be running so smoothly. Like, and that's not a dig to you. I just, like, that, I never would have.
But that was my
vision. That happening. But yeah, that's my point. That's where you wanted it to go,
right?
And you got it there.
There's a lot of guys.
God, I hate kissing your ass. It makes me sick to my stomach.
There's a lot of guys that they were the top dog at the company they worked at, and then they think they can go out and start their own thing, and maybe they can, but they're forgetting that the company they worked at had somebody answering phones and setting that call up properly. Their marketing was set so that a certain type of customer calls in and a certain type of customer doesn't call in, right? We don't want the pain in the ass customers. We want the good customers. Well, you have to market for good customers, right? And so there's certain behaviors you do and don't do with your marketing to get the right kind of customer. You have to behave a certain way on the phone so that the customer is now set up for success so you can come in there and do a wonderful job.
Yeah.
If your person that's answering the phone is harsh and brash and short and mean, well, that's going to make your job really difficult to go in there and turn that person around, right?
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, they're like, already against it when they get there.
Right, right. You've got to have somebody that designs and builds and sets your truck up well so that you have all the things that you need to work well, right? And so there's so much more to business than just doing the actual craft. That's why I say the moment you go into business, you got to leave the craft. You have to be so well with the craft, you have to leave that alone so that you can focus on the business.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this morning. Where this falls into is the four levels of learning. And we've talked about this before on the show, but I'll kind of remind everybody.
A million times.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff. I'll take a nap. You wake me up when you're done.
Yeah, there's four levels of learning.
Just kidding.
Level one is you don't know what you don't know. Level two is you know what you don't know. Level three is you know what you know. And level four is you don't know what you know. And that can be kind of intimidating or kind of confusing.
It's confusing as fuck. Yeah. Every time you say it, I'm like, this motherfucker.
So the analogy I always use is like trying to drive a car. Level one, you don't know what you don't know. In other words, you don't know how hard you have to turn the steering wheel to get the wheels to turn. You don't know how many revolutions you need to spin the wheel. You don't know what that thing next to you that says PRNDR, whatever, you know, 3, 2, 1, all the letters on the shifter. You don't know what that does. You don't know what that third pedal on the left does.
PR321. That's funny.
Right. You don't know what that third pedal on the left does. You know, if you have a stick shift car, right?
Yeah.
If you have a stick shift car, you don't know how to work the pedals and the shifter and everything to get it going, right?
Yeah.
There's so many things you don't even know what you don't know. And then you very quickly get to level two. Like, you have enough experience to where now you know exactly what you don't know. You know what you need to learn. I know that's the clutch. I don't know how to use it yet. Yeah. I know that's the shifter. I don't know how to use it yet. I know those are the blinkers. I can't figure out how to relate up and down to left and right. You know, I know that's the steering wheel, but how hard do I have to turn that thing to make this corner?
Yeah.
You know those things. You know that you don't know those things.
Every time I drive that 68, my arms hurt.
Yeah. Like, no power steering.
Yeah. It's like, God. Ah, yeah. It's painful.
So then level three of learning is you know what you know. Okay. So now I know how to work the shifter. I know how to work the clutch. I know how to steer, but it's a conscious effort every time I do it. I got to be thinking, okay, that was first. Second is straight down. Third is up and over a little bit to the right and up again. Oh, shit. No, that's fifth. Yeah. I got to go back to third. Oh,
shit. Is it mine fifth? And then you try to start in fifth. God damn it.
Yeah.
You think it's second.
So you're having to be consciously thinking about all those things. And then level four is you've done it so long that now you just get in the car, put the key in, turn it, push the clutch in, slide the shifter to the left and up, and you're in first and you're driving.
Yeah.
That's level four, right? And so, in other words, teenagers who are at level two and level three have no business texting and driving because they need full attention on the action.
Don't text and drive, Mitch.
What?
Right. How many times are we going to have this talk?
I know. But what I'm saying is,
he's like my truck drives itself. Fuck you.
Yeah. The level four people could actually stand a fair chance at texting and driving because everything on the driving part comes so automatic.
Yeah.
That and by no means am I saying I'm suggesting
I know, I'm
text
just fucking
and drive
with you, man.
but what I'm saying is by that point everything is so automatic that you're just doing it without even thinking.
Dude, I have a great example. My ex stepmom, who is a horrible human being,
right,
taught me how to drive a stick. She had a Geo Metro 5-speed. It may have been a 4-speed. I can't remember. I'm not kidding you. I did okay and could drive it. I panicked the whole time. The next time we're in the car, she's driving a stick shift, driving down the road, eating McDonald's chicken nuggets with dipping sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking like I'm in awe.
Yeah.
And then when you get to that level, you're like, oh,
yeah,
this is nothing. I can be on my phone. I can be talking to Mitch. I could be drinking beers out of the back seat.
Well, at our age, it was like, let me load my 6-disc changer while I'm shifting gears through the highway.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. No worries. How fast are you going? I don't know, 95.
I'm looking at my printed out MapQuest directions.
Yeah, but life and business is the same.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like when you start out, you're looking around.
Right.
Oh, shit.
Well, and so.
Oh, shit.
So how that parallels to this conversation is don't start your business unless you're at level four of your craft. In other words, if you're still learning how to be a plumber, you have no business owning a plumbing company. You got to figure out the plumbing thing first, right?
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to do is be learning how to take care of customers, learning about CRMs and QuickBooks and P&L sheets. And, oh yeah, that's how you install a water heater.
Yeah.
Right?
And you don't mean I've been a residential plumber for 15 years and I need to know commercial for 15 years
or
excavation for 15 years. Like those are those things that just come along. Like if you know the residential circuit, stick to residential. If you know the commercial circuit, stick to commercial and then worry about the other shit later. Well, like, you know what I mean?
And so there's all these stats out there. Like, you could find any stat for anything, but there's all these stats that
they
talk about, like most businesses close within 3 years or 5 years or some bullshit like that. And I have no doubt the reason why is incapable people got into business and they were still straddling between working on the craft and working on the business.
I'd say, you know what? You're probably right. It's probably like 50% didn't even know their craft well enough to start. And then 50% didn't know business enough to keep it going.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably a real stat.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, I was in the business for like 19 or 20 years before I guess 19 years before I started our company.
Yeah, 19.
Plumbing was automatic to me. There was nothing I can't figure out. There's nothing I can't do.
Yeah.
And I mean,
if it was something new, you're like, I know where to find the information to make this happen.
Right.
Like I can get it done.
Yeah. Last year we did that 1 mile long water line install.
Yeah. You'd never done that before.
I've never bid a water line install, but I didn't freak out and be like, oh, I can't do this because I've never done it before.
No, like, you just fucking grab it by the nuts and be like, I'm going to figure this out right now.
Everything is figure outable.
Yeah.
Right.
Hello, Google.
Yeah. I've done 100-foot water heater installs. I've done 500-foot or water line installs.
I was like, is he going to catch it?
Yeah. I've done 100-foot and 500-foot, like it's just bigger numbers,
yeah.
Right? And so we put the math to it, and we put in the bid, and we got the work, right?
A weird question. How far is a mile? Is it 1,800
feet? 5,280 feet.
5,280 feet?
Yeah, and this was 5,400 feet of pipe.
So is that 1,800 yards? I guess it'd be 1,800 yards, close to it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long way, man.
This was 5,400 feet of piping that we installed.
That's a lot of pipe.
I made a video of it. That's what she said. There was like a, I sent the drone through and just like, it took a lot of time to like trace the whole path.
Did you crash?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Mitch didn't even hesitate.
No, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Austin crashed the shit out of that thing.
I'm just accepting that.
I don't know how, I don't want to change subject, but one of the guys had a drone on the trip and he had it out over the lake and he was one of the
more intoxicated individuals.
And we were having to, it wouldn't land on the boat. We had to catch it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that thing didn't make it in the water. I'm serious. I caught it. Steele caught it. Andrew caught it once. I think you caught it. I don't know how that thing didn't end up in the lake.
I'll just say it's pretty funny to stand back and say you have to take it out of sport mode because you have to put it in, like, it's got normal mode where all of its object sensors are on.
Yeah.
And so whenever you reach up to grab it, it moves. Off. Yeah. It moves away from you. And it was so funny because for five fucking minutes, people are trying to grab it and it's dodging them. And meanwhile, me and Mason are like, you have to put it in sport mode if you want to grab it. You have to put it in sport mode. No, no, I do it all the time. No,
it was it wasn't as long as you think. It was like 30, it was like 30 seconds.
I've got all the drone footage. There's like literally footage of the camera looking down and somebody reaching up for it and the camera just moves away from them. Over and over and over.
The thing is, you can catch it when it's on sport mode, but you run the risk of what I did. As I went too far, I literally just bled.
Put his fingers through the.
Like, it cut the shit out of me.
Yeah,
like it got me good.
Yeah,
that. To be honest, I was too many beers in to be trying to grab that thing off the back of a moving boat.
Right,
like, and so that was on me, not the operator, not the drone. Like that was just me being an idiot.
I want to hit on something else here too, as we're talking about the journey that you're going to go on and transition from business owner to or from employee to business owner.
Okay.
It's an epidemic out there of people that are talking about what they're gonna do instead of talking about what they've done. And it's all cool to post all these affirmations on social media. I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna stop drinking. I'm gonna stop smoking. I'm gonna stop sleeping around on my wife or, you know, whatever the case may be.
I've never seen that post on Facebook.
Have you seen that?
That's because nobody's ever made that affirmation. seen if you're listening.
I've seen those, no one's ever made that affirmation or no one's had the stupidity to post it.
No, in other words, people are very eager to post about what they're gonna do, right? I'm gonna have the best business. I'm gonna have the best place to work in my city. I'm gonna have the biggest business. We're gonna have the best reputation and all that shit, right?
You see this a lot. Our place is the best place for employee growth. Or our place is everyone wants to work here. And then they have like two employees and their employees are like, man, we don't have insurance or retirement. Come on.
Stop lying to yourself, right?
Stop lying to yourself.
But the world is full of people that make all these promises with zero plans for how they're going to pull it off, right? And so...
they're statement happy. Because let's be honest, it makes them feel good because immediately they're like, okay, I've said it. Now I can do it. 2 days goes by and it's a fucking shit show. They forgot all about it. They don't do anything. They don't take any action. I know where you're going with this. Just like, this is one of the things about the events we have.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the people go to the events and then they post afterwards. I'm going to do this is what's happened, this and that and that. And then half of them drop off the face of the earth.
Yep.
Half of them run with the shit.
Right. Right. And half of the people that are posting, I'm going to do actually end up doing it. The other half of the people look like clowns.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the problem with posting what you're going to do is if you don't do it, you look like a clown. And everybody around you now knows you as the guy who says he's going to do shit, but never actually does it.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get about three of those before you're that guy or gal.
Well,
like usually, like, let's be honest, you can do it a few times, but then after that, everyone has lost all trust in you.
Right. And
that's just who you are now.
Don't confuse this with being afraid to fail. Like you got to be, you can't have fear. Like you're going to fail at things,
well,
right?
You're talking about the people that don't even make effort to do it.
Right.
Not the people that, hey, I gave it everything I had and I tried and I failed. Like right. That's different.
Right. Like you never saw me post like we're going to have X amount of Google reviews by X day. I just wanted as many Google reviews as I could have. And as luck would have it, we hit 1,000 before 4 years in business, like 3 days before our fourth birthday,
you have not drank anything today.
No, I'm all water today. 3 days sound before like Dave. Our fourth birthday, we hit 1,000 Google reviews.
Yep.
You never heard me professing that or anything else. It was just dedication to the process to get Google reviews. And lo and behold, look what happened.
Yeah. Right.
Now, if like, that's just kind of how I am. I don't go bragging about we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I'll talk quietly with my inner circle. Hey, I want to do this. What advice do you have? And I take that advice and I run with it. And then the posts that I make are all, here's this thing we did, right?
Or we are doing.
Or doing.
Yeah, and not we are going to do. It's, right. We started this last week. We're in the middle of it.
Yeah. And I mean, the cliche things for that is like, don't talk about it, be about it. And, you know, all of this other shit. But like those go straight over people's heads. Essentially,
yeah, that's true.
Don't talk about what you're gonna do. Talk about what you've done. And if you hold yourself to that rule and you only talk about things that you've done and you haven't done shit, then you don't need to be talking. You need to get your ass to work.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of hard to inspire people when you haven't done anything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there that are throwing out inspirational quotes and follow me and let me inspire you and I'll inspire you. The world's full of inspiration.
Yeah.
All you got to do is look at your family and picture them broke and poor in the future and say, okay, I got to get my ass to work.
Yeah.
And that's inspiration enough, right?
Yeah.
You got to look at your aging parents or aging grandparents that don't have enough money to live out the rest of their life, but don't have the ability to work.
God, that was my biggest...
That's enough inspiration that's right there.
Still my biggest fear.
Right?
And I am probably way over the top with investments and retirement and all that stuff. I'm 42. But still, like, I've seen it enough that is what keeps me rolling. Like, no.
Right.
I will not be that person.
Right. Like, it doesn't take much to be inspired these days. And that little quote that you saw on Facebook that you liked or laughed at or whatever... That inspired you for about 7 seconds and you've already forgotten about it now, unless you copied it and like you did the whole entrepreneur bullshit thing where you copy it and paste it and act like it was yours.
Well, like to be devil's advocate just for 2 seconds on those, like if it's someone I know well and they post those, like we tell the guys in the group to post those, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When they do it and I see their success because they're doing it or I know what they've gone through and then they post it, those are extremely inspirational to me.
Yes.
I am, and I'm not blowing my own horn. I'm six levels above some of those guys, and they post that stuff, and I get inspiration from it. Yeah. I'm like, fuck yeah, man.
Right.
Good for you. Like, and it's not to lift me up or give me motivation to do it, but it's like, I am just smiling at their success.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, those are the ones, when I see those, man, they fucking bring a smile to my face every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
It rings different whenever it's a results-driven inspirational post than a false promise inspirational
yes.
post.
Yes. Right? And when it's legit and through people, when it's genuine and you know them,
yeah,
it's totally different than just that random, you know, Antonelli bullshit that you don't... Like, I don't know that guy.
Right,
like, he's
right,
got
right.
good stuff, but I don't know him.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think sometimes we get kind of lost in the minutia of... The internet's so big and we're taking all these things from all these different people. But if you just look in your own little core group of people,
right?
Like you were saying, inspiration's everywhere. Like those inspirational things have more meaning to me personally
right.
than any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's a totally different perspective to look at it that if you only speak of things you've done and you don't have things to talk about, then you need to get to work and produce some results.
Yeah.
Right. It's just way too common out there to see people talking about all these false promises. And then those are always the people that are like, man, everyone's hating on me. Everyone's got their foot on my neck. Nobody thinks I can do anything. Well, it's because you haven't done anything.
Yeah. Like, they're just telling the truth. They're not holding you back.
Right.
They're just speaking the truth, dog. Get the fuck after it.
Accountability feels like an attack to the undisciplined, right? If somebody's holding you accountable and you're undisciplined, it feels like they're attacking you.
Yeah.
When really they're not.
No.
They're just trying to hold you accountable.
They're calling you out.
Right.
You've said this and then didn't follow through with it.
Right.
That's on you, not them.
But when you're a highly disciplined individual, then when somebody holds you accountable, you appreciate it. You respect it. It's no longer an attack. It's, hey, thank you.
Yeah.
I needed that.
Like, let's be honest. Like one thing, like Mitch and I, we will actually have like debates like at the event.
Yeah. Like, we get into heated arguments.
Yeah. I respect what he says to me more than anyone else. Like, right. I don't, like, if he says something that fucking stabs me in the heart, I don't, Mitch isn't my friend. He's not just agreeing with everything I fucking say.
Right.
No. It's like, dude, some of that shit, that's right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, in the, what's weird is we don't, I think people don't have enough of those friends or enough of those type of people in their circle, because this gets back to kind of what we were saying earlier. They don't cut anyone loose,
right?
And they don't grow their circle, you know?
Yep.
It's, man, you've got to tell your friend that you care about,
right,
that like is rowing in your direction. Dude, you're what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They're not dragging you down. They're lifting you up, yeah, by calling you out.
Right.
It's a real thing, man.
Yeah, 100%.
We could all use 4 or 5 of those dudes.
A lot of those guys got that this weekend at the event.
Oh, my God.
When everyone was diving into exactly, yeah, why they do what they do, right? You're being called out on your bullshit. You're being called out on the, well, we do it because we want to make an impact in our community and blah, blah, blah. Okay, no, really, why do you do it? Because impact doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
So, like, why do you do it? Oh, well, and obviously the root cause is money, and a byproduct of that is impact, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You can make an impact as long as the byproduct is money.
Well, you can make an impact when you have enough money. Right. Unfortunately, that's the society we live in, and yeah, it's just reality.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to make a big fucking impact, have money.
Right.
Like, it's sad to say that, but it's the truth.
Yeah. And put in the reps, right?
Yeah.
We'll close this out with it's like a clip or a quote from Simon Sinek where he talks about people that want to get into the shape and they go to the gym. And
is this what you said this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. This
you
is
go
good.
To the gym and yeah, you lift. You do one arm curl. Why don't I have biceps yet? Oh, well, you didn't go to the gym long enough. Okay, cool. I went to the gym for a week.
Did one every day I was there.
And I did arm curls every day. Where are my biceps? Oh, you didn't do it long enough. Right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a flip side where the guy that's gone to the gym for 10 years and he looks like he's been to the gym and he's cut and he's ripped and, you know, everything else. Where's the magical change there? It's not like a certain day that everything changed. It's a slow progression.
It's the day you noticed.
Right.
It's the day that you noticed.
It's the rock, right, breaking. It's like, did the rock break on the 13th hit or the 10th hit or the,
right,
90th?
Yeah. Right. And so when you're doing any growth or development, you got to put in the reps. You know, I go to the gym damn near every day, right?
I still don't know how you do it.
It's,
man,
probably like
mad respect.
Realistically, it's probably 330 to 345 days out of the year, well, that I go to the gym.
You can't go every day. Right. It's almost impossible.
Right. I didn't go when we were on the event.
I can hear the haters now. Yes, you can. You got to make an effort. Cool. No, I'm not driving 30 minutes to the gym when I'm at the lake. Fuck off.
Right. And so, you know, going to the gym.
That's my first F today, I think.
You know, I'm trying to,
damn it,
build my body into a certain shape, like an image that I have in my head, right?
Yeah.
You don't see me giving too much, like, the only fitness advice I ever give anybody is spoken from my personal experience of what has worked for me, right?
Yeah.
And what hasn't worked for me. And I don't speak it as gospel either. I speak it from it like, here's what worked for me. Here's what allows me to bulk up. Here's what allows me to lean down. In this way, I leaned down, but I didn't feel good. Like, I tried keto for a while. I looked like I had fucking cancer.
Dude, when I did that 75 hard and I cut carbs out, I thought I was going to die. Like, day 8, I was like, I'm sick as
fuck. You kind of need carbs.
I thought I was going to fucking, I didn't cut them out,
called the keto flu.
I was not getting enough. I thought I was going to fucking die,
so the
man.
Next time you try it, are you going to do?
I'm not fucking trying that again. Fuck that.
I mean, if that's the only thing that took you out was the carbs. Or was it the drinking too?
No, I quit drinking completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was part. That's part of 75 hard. You can't drink anymore.
Yeah.
Literally, like, I got to day 8 and I was sick as hell.
Yeah.
And and just to what you were saying about the workout thing, like, I tell everyone cardio is the key.
Yeah.
Like, that's for me. That's what works.
Right.
Like, I can stay lean and mean, and if I hit if I do 45 minutes of cardio every other day for like 2 weeks,
right,
dude, I am in insane shape.
Yep.
It's probably just because the way my body is.
Yeah, who
knows? You know what I mean? It's just like, I know I can pick up a 15-pound rifle and go 2 miles if I just do that for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I just, that's what works for me.
We're all different.
Yeah.
Like, I notice differences in my own body as I'm trying to build muscle mass. I've got some muscles that build themselves much better than others.
Yeah.
Like my hamstrings.
Yeah. My legs.
Fucking enormous.
My legs are that
way. I can grow a hamstring real easy. I'm struggling to grow quads. Same exercise, same reps, same fatigue, same. Yeah. Everything, it just doesn't work on one muscle group like it does on another. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing
ever. It is weird. Do you remember Rich Matthews and Daniel Matthews?
Oh, yeah.
So Rich is he still works out like all the time.
Right.
Like, he's freaking huge. I'm not kidding you. When we were like 25, we went to the gym. I had one. It's a Genesis now in Lee Summit in that shopping center. I could max out the leg press. It wasn't leg press. It was a squat, but it was a machine, right?
Uh-huh.
I could max it and those guys couldn't.
Yeah.
And it was just because that's how my body is.
Yeah.
Like, if I tried to do that now, it'd probably kill me.
Well, and, right? and but a if lot of guys will poke fun at that and talk about the difference between strength and muscle growth. Like yeah. just because you have big muscles doesn't mean they're strong.
Yeah. That, right? Yeah, that's true. And it's like, I can't, like Dan Bianchi has said this before. He's like, man, I got a little bird chest. I'm the same way. Yeah. Like I could bench press every day.
Dan could still kick my ass.
Dan's a bad dude.
Yeah. All that BJJ stuff he does. Woo.
Dan's a bad dude, man. Yeah. I mean, I've seen him flipped on his ass a few times, but I wouldn't want to get in there with him.
No.
Like if it's street fight, oh, okay, maybe. I'm in the ring. I'm out. Yep. I don't want to get choked. I don't want, yeah, I don't want Dan yeah. to, yeah, exactly. I gotta be able unfair. To escape. Yeah, I have to fight unfair. I will do that yeah. in the ring. No, I don't want Dan to choke me out, break my neck. Like I don't need that, right. you know?
So, yeah, essentially.
That's good stuff, man.
Essentially, you got to put in the reps. You got to go through the monotony. And that's where the success lies. The success lies in the boring ass repetitions that you can no longer post about, that nobody gets excited about your post of, oh, I'm in the gym again, right? Unless you're a half naked girl posting pictures in the gym, then people give that attention.
I don't watch that shit either. That shit ain't real. No, thanks. Right? I'm out.
Like if you ever see me posting about the gym, it's the fact that I sat in the parking lot for 45 minutes trying to talk myself into walking into that place. You know,
my problem is getting in the truck. Once I'm in the truck to drive somewhere, I'm good.
Yeah.
But like once I'm there, I'm fine.
Right.
I'm up.
And so
my struggle is walking down to the podcasts on or not podcasts. The group calls Friday mornings at 7.
Yeah.
I'm laying there in bed at 6:40. Like, God damn it, Mitch. Why did he make these so early?
Yeah.
But once I'm up, I'm good to go.
Yeah. So put in the reps. Only talk about what you've done. Don't talk about what you're going to do unless you're confiding to your inner circle. Nobody else needs to know what you're going to do. Right. And then when you're talking about what you've done, celebrate the fuck out of it because you're in the minority. Most people don't accomplish shit. And so they'll take that, you know, all the toilets they installed in one day and take all the pride in that. I did that. No, somebody else set all the stops. Somebody else staged all the toilets in the bathroom. I just had to come in and install them, right?
Yeah.
But they want to hang their hat on that. And then they're breaking down trust in themselves because they know they didn't do that.
All the floor was perfectly flat. So you didn't have to shim every fucking stool.
Right.
And it just worked out, man. Right. Just worked out that day.
And so, you know, talk about what you've done. Be real with yourself. Be real with your results. And just go from there and you're going to see 10 times more success. And if you're going to start your own business, if you're listening to this show and you haven't started your own business yet, master your craft and then get ready to walk away from the mastery, the dedication of the craft. Like you can still hang your hat. Like I still hang my hat on the fact that I'm a badass plumber, but my focus is on growing the business, not the perfect glue joint and the perfect usage of fittings and the perfect hanger placement and the perfect solder joint with no runs and no drips, or as everybody does now today, the perfect Pro Press crimp.
Don't get me in. I'm not commenting on Pro Press pussies, but whatever.
But you know, it's no longer about how it looks. It's how does the P&L look for me?
Yeah. Right.
And that's not to say it's all about money, but that's the whole reason we do this is so that I can provide for our family. I'm getting ready to send 4 people on vacations from a contest that we did. That shit doesn't happen without money, right? It doesn't matter how many beautiful Pro Press crimps or solder joints I've done in my past. If there's no money to send these people on vacations, what's the point?
Did I win?
No.
Mm.
So
brutal.
But
where's my invite?
We're gonna leave the show on that. So don't talk about it. Be about it.
Be about it.
Until next week, guys. We will see you later.
Love you guys.